Last week, we talked about why. And I didn't tell you last week, but I don't think I mentioned it, but I was just using that to open a series, a short series on why. And last week we looked at four questions that I gave you for thought and for evaluation. The first one was, why do I have faith in Jesus? The next one was, why do I read the Bible? The next one was, why do I come to church? And then the last one was, why do I need people? And so we talked about those things last week. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look deeper into each one of those questions. And hopefully, as we move through this series, we'll get a good grip on our why. That's our purpose as it relates to God. Each one of us here today has a purpose as it relates to God, whether you know it or not. You really do. And if you hear nothing else today but that, I hope you will hear that and grasp it and believe it. And so today, we'll talk about the first one, why Jesus? Why Jesus? Why have faith in Jesus? Why know who He is? Why have a personal relationship with Him? Why be obedient to His teachings? And if you're not a believer as you sit here today, I just want to tell you, Jesus gives answers. Answers to life. And Jesus is the answer to life. He is the answer to life. You know, so you might say, that's kind of a silly question. Why have faith in Jesus? Well, for some of you believers, that might be simple. But really, for a lot of us and for all of us believers, we need to ask ourselves that. Why are we here? Why are you here today? Why have faith in Him? The first thing I want you to see why Jesus is that truth comes through Jesus. Truth comes through Jesus. If you'll turn to John chapter 1, we're going to see Scripture tell us exactly that. John chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You know what grace is? Grace is God's favor. It's God's favor. It's His overwhelming blessings that He pours out to us in the form of truth. You see, there's a lot of people in the world today speaking a lot of things as truth. But only the word that Jesus brings is truth. Excuse me. Everything that is of God is built on truth. You know, when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and they had brought Him there, and they wanted Pilate to pronounce His sentence of execution, and Pilate brought Him kind of inside there, away from the crowd, and he questioned Him. And he started asking Him some questions. And he said, are you a king? And Jesus said, you rightfully say, yeah, I'm a king. But my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my people would have already fought against this arrest. And he told Pilate that what I bring to the world is truth. And Pilate made a really bad mistake. He looked at Jesus and he said, what is truth? And he walked away. He walked back out to the crowd to address them. Truth, grace and truth came through Jesus. And it continues to come through Jesus. And you see, we need God's favor. Grace is God's favor. on our lives. Everything that's of God is built on truth. His truth. And we need His favor on our lives, and we need His truth in our lives. I want you to get that. We need His grace on our lives, but we need His truth in our lives. In our lives. See, Jesus came to offer us salvation that comes by grace through faith in Him. And to bring truth. The truth of who He is. The truth of our need for a Savior. So that we can have hope in Him. So why Jesus? Well, today I want us to look and see four incredible things that Jesus does for us. He does four incredible things for us. And the first thing He does, and we don't necessarily like it, but it's good. Jesus describes the human condition of mankind. Jesus describes the human condition of mankind. And what is that human condition? It's sin and rebellion against God. That's the condition of mankind. Sin and rebellion against God. You see, sin is a violation of God's purpose for you. And when we realize the devastation that results from sin, it should cause us hesitation. It should cause a hesitation in us before we go that route. You see, sin is seductive. It's treacherous and destructive. Jesus is why we can overcome temptation and sin. Jesus is why that we can be forgiven and restored from the devastation of sin. Jesus describes the human condition of mankind. And that is the human condition. When we look at the world today, it's easy to see sin and rebellion against God. But it's not just out there in the world. It's here too. It's here too. See, it's easy to sit in church and look out there and think about those that don't go to church and say, well, that's all that stuff's for them. No, here's something we have to always remind ourselves. All of this was written to the church. For the church. To the church. The second thing, the incredible thing that Jesus does, is He provides for our malady. He provides for our malady. Now, malady, in case you don't know what that is, a malady is a disordered condition. A malady is a disordered condition. And what is that malady? The malady is the heart is desperately wicked. The heart is desperately wicked. You see, we don't want to think of it as that, but yet the Word says it is. You see, we have clenched our fist against God, and we live as if we don't need Him oftentimes, and thinking that politics or education is going to solve our problems. You see, our malady, our disordered condition, our illness, our sickness, our affliction, our complaint, our ailment is summed up by this one scripture in Jeremiah 17:9. And I want you to see it in the New Living Testament, so I'll just put it on the screen for you. You don't have to turn there. Jeremiah 17:9, if you want to note it. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Tough scripture, huh? But it's truth. So why Jesus? Because salvation, grace through forgiveness and redemption is the only real hope for people. When we look at that scripture, that's our only hope. Redemption and forgiveness. You see, hate, anger, and bitterness destroys the person who has those things more than it harms the person or people they're directed at. Let me say that again. Hate, anger, and bitterness destroys the person that has those things and harms them much more than the person or people they're directed at. You see, when the heart is as broken as it so often can be, only Jesus can rebuild, reposition, redirect, restore, and redeem the heart. Only Jesus. You know, I want to share a story with you about a prison. I just made a few notes because of what I wanted to share with you about it. I could share all day with you about it. But Angola Prison, for those of you that don't know where Angola is, it's a prison in Louisiana. And for years it was known as the worst prison in the world. If you went there, it was you were probably sentenced to death, and most likely, and just by being there. A few years ago, there were 5,300 prisoners in Angola. 85% of them were there for life without parole. 85%. 45 of them were on death row, waiting to be executed. Ravi Zacharias went to visit there with some of his board members and a chaplain from Virginia Tech. And they went to tour the prison, and he spoke three times to some of the population in the prison, about 700 guys in an assembly, and then he went through the prison. And one man that was kind of showing him through there was a prisoner. He was an inmate. And Robbie said, "Can I ask you something?" He said, "Yes." And he said, "Are you here for life without parole?" He said, "Yes." And he said, "How do you feel on the inside about that?" And the prisoner looked at him and he said, "Dr. Zacharias, if you knew the kind of person I was, and what I did that landed me in here," he said, "if it took these bars and this prison for me to come to know Jesus and to have the freedom that I have in my heart," he said, "I couldn't trade it for anything. I know my Savior. I know where I'm going." He said, "Pray for my parents on the outside who think they have freedom, but they live in a far greater prison than I do." He said, "I'm at peace because I know my Savior. I deserved what got me to be here." You see, that prison was so bad that when, years ago, when you were checked in there and processed as an inmate, and it wasn't publicized, but it was known, you were given a knife just so you could have a chance to survive. He said, as we walked through those prison cells, this was just a couple of years ago, and through that prison, he said, "I went down death row. And as I looked in through the bars, I even stuck my hand in and shook hands with some of the guys on death row, and I spoke to them." And he said, "But in every cell, we saw a Bible. Some of those guys even had commentaries from people like Joyce Myers or Robert Morris, things like that." And he said, as we were going through there, this 6'6" chaplain said, and he said, "You know, if we had more of these Bibles in our schools, we'd need less of them in here." Several years ago, the prison was so bad, and it was well known. I mean, it was just a hellhole. But a big, large, rotund sheriff came in there, and he told the governor of Louisiana, he said, "I'll turn this place around if you'll allow me to do it my way." And the governor said, "Have at it." And so what he did, he came in and he put a Bible in every cell. He started Bible studies. He started a Bible school. And he started He put scriptures on the walls over the bloodstains. And slowly it began to turn around. And today, that prison is written about all over, because it really has turned around. It was, before it became a prison, an old plantation. It is now again a thriving plantation. They have a huge auto mechanics facility where some of the guys that have hope of getting out are being trained and equipped to have a job, be able to get a job when they get out. There's no cursing. There's no cussing allowed in that place, either by the inmates or the prison staff. Today, it's one of the safest prisons anywhere, written up everywhere. You see, why Jesus? Redemption. Transformation. And change. In a place that there was no hope for. The third incredible thing that Jesus does for us is He's our source and our sustenance in suffering. He's our source and our sustenance in suffering. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's on the screen. He fully identifies with grief and loss. You see, the shortest verse in the Bible is in John 11:35. Two words. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Why did He weep? Well, Lazarus had died. Lazarus was a good friend of His. And when Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead, you see, He knew beforehand what He was going to do. He knew when He arrived there what He was going to do. And yet He saw family and friends of Lazarus weeping, wailing, crying over his death. And He wept. He wept with them and for them. Because He fully identified with the reality and the grief of death. Think about this. When a baby is born, it comes into the world crying. True?
Yep.
Comes into the world crying. You see, grief and crying is natural to humans. It's the first thing they do when they come into the world. But listen to this. Smiles and laughter come with relationship and security. Think about that. Smiles and laughter come with relationship and security. As that baby grows and you build a relationship with your baby and you make that baby feel secure, what do they begin to do? Smile. And eventually laugh. Grief and crying is natural to humans. But smiles and laughter come with relationship and security. And that's what Jesus does. Why Jesus? With a relationship, security and hope, He puts a smile on your face and in your heart. He puts a smile on your face and in your heart. See the fourth thing. The fourth incredible thing. Probably the most incredible thing that Jesus does is the resurrection from the dead. Jesus did that for us. The resurrection from the dead. Jesus conquered death. Jesus had to be crucified, buried in a cave that was sealed with a huge boulder so that He could conquer death. Not for Himself. Not a physical death. I mean, He conquered physical death, but what He really conquered was spiritual death. You see, Jesus' resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Jesus' resurrection guaranteed our resurrection from spiritual separation from God. Spiritual death. You see, our physical lives are temporary. True? And that's really simple enough to understand. I mean, we see and hear of people dying every day, don't we? Easy concept. Physical death. It's a reality. It's inevitable. We can understand that. It doesn't take faith because we see and hear it every day. But spiritual death, listen to me, spiritual death is only understood by the truth that Jesus brings through faith in Him. Through faith in Him. I want to share another brief story with you from the Bible. In Daniel chapter 8, Daniel's given a vision. He's given a vision of these two kingdoms rising up. And then a he-goat from the west coming and conquering them. And creating one big kingdom and going through and taking over and devastating everything. And then that he-goat being taken down. And that kingdom divided into four kingdoms. And then eventually, another one coming and conquering all of those four kingdoms. Daniel was given that vision in chapter 8. That vision was a vision that was given to Daniel by God 260 years before Alexander the Great came on the scene. And it was describing what he did. Alexander the Great came through, conquered the Median and the Persian king, took over, swept through the countryside, establishing his kingdom. But then he died in his 20s, early 20s, from alcoholism. And his kingdom was divided between his four generals. And eventually, Jesus comes and conquers all of that. 260 years before that happened, Daniel wrote of that vision that God gave him. Now, can you really sit here and think that the God who revealed that 260 years into the future, before it took place, that He doesn't have the power to free you and give you your future back? Why, Jesus? Because He holds the future. You see, the Jesus of prophecy, the Christ of history, is the Jesus who offers to be your Savior. The Jesus who is the Comforter, who conquered death, the grave, the living Savior. Why Jesus? Well, only in Him is eternal hope. There's never been anyone like Him in history. Ever. Not just in ethics, but in the power to change a person's heart. That's why Jesus. I'm going to share scripture with you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as I do this. John 14, 19. John 14, 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Those are the words you need to hear this morning. Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. You know, we're going to die one day. And that's when this scripture kicks in. That's when the resurrection kicks in. Because He conquered death. Because He conquered the grave. Because He says, I live, you will live also. And that's not just a statement. Because I live, you will live also is an invitation. It's an invitation to have your human condition changed. It's an offer for your malady of heart. It's a source of sustenance for your suffering. And it's an offer of life over death when your time comes. Because I live, you will live also, Jesus said. And yes, that's a choice. Would you pray with me? It's a choice to receive the invitation or not. Why Jesus? Because He lives, you can live also. Do you have Jesus in you? Do you know Him personally? Do you have a relationship with Him? What does all that mean, Pastor? Don't understand that jargon. Well, let me try to simplify it. Have you put your faith for your life, for your needs, for your protection, for your provision, for your marriage, for your kids, for your job, for your future? Have you put your faith for all those things in Jesus Christ? That's what I mean by a relationship. It comes with a relationship of faith. That's how you come to know Jesus. That's how you have a relationship with Him. You put your faith in Him. You ask Him to forgive you for your sins. And then you receive that forgiveness by faith. And so I ask you again this morning, have you done that? Do you know for certain, because He lives, you will live when you die? You see, we're all going to die physically. Our heart will stop beating, and we'll take our last breath. And physical death takes place. But you see, our spirit lives on somewhere. Either in a place called hell or a place called heaven. And that destiny is determined by what you do with Jesus while you're alive, before that event takes place. Whether you reject Him by refusing to put your faith in Him, or rather you receive Him, and therefore because He lives, you live. You have to make that decision. And if you don't make that decision will be made for you, because time will make that decision. Your heart will stop one day. Your breath will take its last. And then the decision is made for you if you don't make that decision before then. I encourage you to make it today. Not for me, not for anyone else, but for you. Just speak to the Lord right where you are. Lord, I need a Savior. I believe that's the truth that Jesus brought. And I receive the grace of salvation that He gives me by believing that He is my Savior and believing that I can put my faith in Him. I put my faith in You, Jesus. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for saving me. Don't be ashamed and don't fear. It's not anything you have to live up to. It's just something you have to receive by faith and then let Him work out the details in your life, because He will. He will. When you put your faith in Jesus, the Bible says thousands of angels in heaven rejoice. There's clapping and cheering and encouragement going on in the heavenlies. You can do it today, but it's your choice. It's your choice. It'll change your life. You'll never be the same. And you'll have someone to be with you when the storms of life start blowing through. You'll have an anchor of hope to hold you strong and hold you firm. Do it today. Not for me, for you. Because He lives, you can live also. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He came with grace and truth. And He offers that grace and that truth to us. Not only for that one moment of salvation, but for that continuous life that we can live with Him on this earth and in the life after. The one that really counts. The one that lasts forever. Eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for offering that to us, making it available to us, and giving us the choice to receive it. Thank you that we're not puppets on strings. Thank you that you give us a free will. And yes, we abuse it. But God, thank you that when we choose it, you use it in our lives to make us stronger, better, more loving, kinder, gentler, more patient, with more goodness for each other and for you. You give us a heart that seeks after your heart. God, give us that today. Help us to put aside all the stuff that distracts us, keeps us from focusing on you. And help us to discover our purpose, our why for having a relationship with you. God, we thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you made a decision this morning, I'd just ask you to share it with me by filling out that connection point. If you gave your life to Christ, just check that box. Whatever decision you may have made this morning. And just drop it in when the bag comes by. Why? Because I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. I want to send you some encouraging information that'll help you engage your relationship with God. Ushers, if you'll come now, we've got a great opportunity now to continue our worship with our tithes and our offerings and give thanks to God for His provision.